Four decades ago, the evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins published a book that changed science. In his book, The Selfish Gene, Dawkins argued that genes competing for survival not only drive evolution, but also animal and human behavior. It was an abstract idea at first, but now scientists, including researchers at the Stowers Institute in Kansas City, are figuring out how selfish genes actually do their work. Alex Smith from KCUR reports.
In the cooler section of any Whole Foods, you can find kombucha, the yeast-fermented tea sold with some pretty over-the-top marketing claims.
The mission of Unity Vibration Kombucha is to spread love, health, and possibility into the world and to better the lives of millions with our products.
That's a video promoting kombucha's peace and love image. But researchers at the Stowers Institute, a biomedical research organization in Kansas City, have discovered some downright sinister activity during the mating of a yeast cell that's found in kombucha. Stowers investigator Sarah Zanders says she started working with Schizosaccharomyces kombucha yeast while working in Seattle, although she's never been a fan of the tea itself.
I'm very thankful for the tea because it's given me a career, but I don't myself drink it.
Normally during mating, whether we're talking about yeast, mice, or humans, there's a kind of showdown between the parties involved to decide which genes get passed along to the next generation and which don't. But S. kombucha sometimes contains a selfish gene called WTF4, which hijacks the reproduction process using a particularly malicious maneuver. WTF4 genes pass along to their offspring a poison designed to kill them.
What we've likened it to is like an Agatha Christie-type murder scenario.
Or maybe the 1987 movie, The Princess Bride. When a cell with the WTF4 gene mates with a cell that doesn't have it, the resulting genetic battle is not unlike the scene in the movie where Wesley, the ninja-like hero played by Cary Elwes, faces off against Vizzini, the wannabe criminal mastermind played by Wallace Shawn.
So, it is down to you? And it is down to me.
Wesley takes 2 cups of wine and tells Vizzini he secretly dosed one with a poison called iocane powder. He sets both cups on a table and lets Vizzini choose who will drink from which one. After a few minutes of verbal gymnastics and a sly switcheroo, Vizzini grabs a cup, gulps it down, and... spoiler alert... drops dead. Princess Buttercup, whom Wesley has come to rescue and is played by Robin Wright, then says...
To think, all that time it was Shortcut that was poisoned.
Wesley explains his secret.
They were both poisoned. I spent the last few years building up an immunity to iocane powder.
The WTF4 gene has a similar trick up its sleeve. When it reproduces, it poisons all of its offspring. But to the offspring lucky enough to inherit the WTF4 gene, it also passes along the ability to create an antidote to save itself. By doing this, the gene basically rigs the game to preserve its continued existence generation after generation. University of Maryland biology professor Gerald Wilkinson explains that Zander's research opens a rare window on what's happening inside selfish genes.
The actual genetic details of how they work has only been figured out for a handful of cases. So it's really probably less than 6 cases that we understand well.
Selfish genes are found throughout nature and have a lot of different ways to rig the genetic game. There are even some that use a poison and antidote technique similar to the WTF4. But typically they work in teams, with one gene creating the poison while another creates the antidote. Wilkinson says that Zander's research is remarkable because it shows, for the first time, one gene that can do both.
The single gene carries both the poison and the antidote. And the fact that that even exists opens up the possibility that that kind of genetic element might be found elsewhere.
Selfish genes like the WTF4 might seem like a good thing for an organism hoping to pass along its DNA, but their selfishness doesn't necessarily pay off for the organism in the long run. That's because while selfish genes hijack the genetic lottery in their favor, they also muck with natural selection.
Genes are stuck to each other end to end, and they kind of are inherited in groups. And what can happen is that if junk accumulates next to a selfish gene, it is transmitted along with the selfish gene.
Researchers think this junk might include genetic predispositions to certain diseases that would normally get weeded out over the generations, but instead get passed along thanks to the shield of protection provided by neighboring selfish genes. Some scientists are now working to borrow selfish techniques and use them in engineering DNA in hopes they can steer evolution to reduce populations of, say, mosquitoes carrying Zika or other pests we'd like to do without. Zander says the first step is understanding how to cheat the evolutionary process.
Like human society, there's a million different ways to cheat to get ahead, and we're just starting to appreciate some of the strategies that selfish genes are employing to do that.
And by learning how to be genetically selfish, researchers may give humans a competitive edge to help us stay healthy. For Here and Now, I'm Alex Smith in Kansas City.